In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In this is love. In this. Not that we love God. Not that we even love each other, but rather that God loved us and sent His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. The sacrifice that paid the full penalty for our sin. My friends, that is one of the best encapsulated summing up of the entire message of the gospel I have ever heard. John, when he wrote his letter, has many examples of these kinds of wonderful encapsulated conclusions, shorthand cliff note versions of the gospels, if you will. And here's one of them. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God sent His Son to die for you and me, to pay the price that we owe, to stand in for us and die where we deserve to die. That, my friends, is the core principal message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But looking at this definition, a couple of questions come to mind today. Firstly, what do we mean by love? I mean, think about it with me for just a moment. If you look at our culture today and look at the movies and the theaters and look at what we see on TV, and read what we read in romance novels, love is some squishy, mushy, sexually communicated, emotional, kind of feeling. Feelings, oh, feelings. Love. Huh?
Barry.
Oh, Barry Manilow. No, no, that's not love. Love, there's a song, once the song used to be, love is just around a corner. Every cozy little corner. Love is just around the corner when I'm around you. No, that's not love. That's a kind of love. That's a kind of lust, actually. But it's not the love that we're talking about here. The romance novel kind of love, the kind of love that I have for my dog even, no. I love pizza, no, not that kind of love. I love air conditioning, might get close. But still no cigar, no. What do we mean when we talk about love? Real, holy, divine, God-given love. What are we talking about when we are talking about the love of God that came into the world in Jesus Christ and died for our sins in our place? What are we talking about when we're talking about love? What is love? If it's not lust, if it's not a desire for somebody or something, what is love? The first question. And the second question, once we understand what love is, how do we share it? Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we can always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love. English has one word for it. One word. Love. Greek, which was the language of the New Testament, had three words for love. The bottom is the first one, eros. The word from which we get in English, erotic. And it means exactly what you think it means. Sexual love. The second one, in the middle, philia, is the word from which we get the name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, and it means exactly that. Brotherly love, the love that brothers and sisters have for each other. The love that is found when you give and then you receive, and you give in part to receive. The first one, eros, is sometimes translated literally, and to get the essence in the Greek right, as lust. The second one as liking or friendship. The one at the top, agape, is the principal kind of love that a mother has for a child, that a father has for a child, a love that gives regardless, that gives no matter what, that gives despite the fact that there is no response. When a child goes wrong, when a child goes bad and becomes a deviant, let us say, mothers still love. Fathers still love such a child. The response isn't there, but the parent still loves the child. It is a love that gives even though there is no response. Switch it. Just as in English, so in Greek, love is both a noun, a substance, and an action. To love someone in English means that you take that emotional content, whatever it may be, lust, liking, or I'm just use the term motherly love, divine love is what it is, and you shower it on the other one. For the ultimate word, it's in Greek agapao, which literally means I love, and it means the essence of giving of yourself. Switch to the third one now. Agapao. Back. You went one too far. There you go. Agapao. To consider the needs, concerns, joys, and happiness of another before yourself. To consider the needs, concerns, joys, and happiness of another before yourself. That's what Jesus did when he came into the world and showed us how much God loved us by going to the cross in our place and dying for our sins. Jesus considered our need, our concern, the joy that we would have in glory with God in heaven, and the happiness that he would give us in glory with God in heaven. He considered our needs before any other need and gave himself for our sins. That's the essence of love. That's why the gospel says, that's why John writes in his letter, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God sent his Son into the world to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God considered our needs first the need that we had for a sacrifice, because we couldn't do it ourselves, the need that we had for someone to come and stand in for us and die in our place. He loves us so much that despite what we do, despite our mistakes, despite our sins, despite the evil nature that is within us, despite the old man of sin, despite all of that, He sent His Son to die for us. That's what love is, friends. It's not the mushiness of Eros. It's not the nice, hello, how you doing, of Philea. It's a love that will die for another, expecting nothing in return. Jesus died not just for those who would respond. Jesus died not just for those who would have faith. Jesus died not just for those who loves Him. Jesus died for Adolf Hitler and Saddam Hussein and those who will reject Him. If Jesus had only died for those who would love Him, then the love we're talking about isn't agapao, it's philea. It's not agape love, it's philea love. A love that only gives for the receipt. No, Jesus died for everybody, for everyone. Jesus died regardless of the response. Jesus died for everybody in order that He could then receive those who would respond with love. He died for everybody to make it possible for us to then turn around and love God back. He opened the way for us to love Him by loving every single human being who ever lived and whoever will live. Loving them so much that He died for them all. He died for us all. That means, my friends, that God will never stop loving you. God will never stop loving you, will never stop reaching for you, will never stop calling you, will never stop loving you. What you do is up to you now. Because God loved you, you now have the calling to then respond with love. My friends, that is the core of the gospel too. Not just that God gave His Son to die for our sins, but then we have the duty and responsibility of response. And that's the second part of what we're going to look at today. What does it mean to take this love that went to the cross for you and me and died? 1 John 4, verse 20 reads, "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars." Whew. Sometimes, you know, John just lays it out there. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't say, they're fibbing a little bit. He doesn't say, they don't really know what they're talking about. He doesn't say, they're lacking enough light to be able to say the truth. No, he goes out and he says, they're a bunch of liars. He wouldn't have done very good in politics. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Wow. In other words, if you can't love the people sitting next to you in the pew, if you can't love the person over there, if you can't love the person over here, whom you know and have seen and can touch and can talk to and can share relationships with on a daily basis, if you can't love them, indeed, if you hate them, then you can't possibly love God. You see, there's a reason for that. God loves them. Oh, but I just don't want to love them, Greg. Well, sorry, God loves them. You know, there are some people I cannot stand. I don't like to be around them. They drive me crazy. They make me nervous, uncomfortable, unhappy. I don't like them. But God loves them. God loved them enough to send His Son to die for them. And therefore, if we hate them, we can't possibly really love God. God gives us the grace we need to love literally everybody that He loves, which means everybody, which means including yourself. God gives us the grace that we need. That doesn't mean you necessarily have to like them or what they do. God doesn't like it that we sin. But it means that we can consider their needs, their happiness and joy, their true needs ahead of our own. What would this church be like? What would Christianity be like? What would the faith be like? What would the world be like if we consider the needs of others ahead of our own? What would our faith be like if we considered the needs of others ahead of ourselves? My sisters and brothers, that's what we're called to do with this love. That's what we're called to do with the love that went to the cross and died for us. We are called to consider the needs of others ahead of our own. And what do they need? Firstly, they need to hear this message. They need to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loves them and wants them and died for them despite all the sins they do. And that God wants them to receive that love and enter into a relationship with Him. That's our calling as the church. That's considering their needs ahead of our own. And it starts right here. I want to challenge you. If there is somebody in this congregation, this small little congregation, if there is somebody in this church with whom you are estranged, with whom your relationship is strained, with whom, for whatever reason, you don't like to talk, I encourage you to receive the love that God has given you, to recognize the love that God has given them, and turn to them and express the love of God for them and end the rift. That's all we can do in Jesus' name, is express the love of God for others. I challenge you. If we can do that in here, if we can do it outside those doors, we can change this city. We can change this state, this country, and this world. Share the love of God with your brothers and sisters in these pews, with those who are not in this room, with everyone whom you meet. And this is love, that God sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice, paying for all our sins. He loved us that much. How can we not love each other? How can we not love God? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.